Let's go to the Word right now, and let's learn today. Let's see what we can do. We're in a series called Amazing Grace. Say that with me. Come on, wake up. Grace is amazing. The passage of Scripture we're going to read today is where the song Amazing Grace came from. It was written right from a Scripture that we'll see today. So, Amazing Grace. Now, last week was an ugly message, remember? I called you a what? A pig. Now, how many of your preachers call you a pig? You wouldn't hear Joel Osteen call you a pig. But he would agree with me. He would just go, brother, you could have said it differently. Amen. 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 But anyway, that's who we are. Polluted. We've all sinned. None of us are perfect. We all got mess. Impotent. We don't have any strength within ourselves to be able to get to God. Somehow we're going to work it out. We're going to be something for God. And we're going to make it to heaven. Are you kidding me? And G, guilty. Guilty. So we needed, these pigs needed us some amazing grace. Amen? And I talked about how many pig stories is in the Bible. It's amazing. There's a lot of pig stories in the New Testament. They're there for a reason. It's because God wants us to see who we are. Amen? He loves us. It's not about us. It's about Him. Amen? Y'all know that, right? God's God and we are what? One more time. God is God and we are. Amen. It's all about Him. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about His Son. There's one way, Jesus Christ. Bottom line, you cannot read your Bible and get any of the answer. It's amazing grace. See, if there was other ways to heaven, it wouldn't be amazing grace, would it? Say. Would it? Say. If I could work myself out, if I could believe in this crazy dude over here who starts some kind of cult, it wouldn't be some amazing grace, would it? It'd be like, oh, just another way. But Jesus said, no, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We love Him, the Bible says, because He what? First loved us. See, it's amazing grace. Let's look at the story. Here we go. John 9. John chapter 9. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. I remember when I became a Christian, I started reading my Bible. And that first Bible of mine, this was all marked up. I could relate to this dude. And I love this. And as Jesus passed by, He saw, say it with me, a what? A man which was what? Blind from when? Now that's blind. You understand? I mean, He didn't just see some bright light one day and just have a little problem. This guy is blind. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents said he was born blind. And there's still a lot of kooks today in churches that when you have some illness or something wrong with you, they say that it's because you've sinned. They say you need to claim that miracle and have that faith, and you don't have enough faith, you see, and that's why you're the way you are. Why don't they read John 9? Somebody talk to me. What'd you say? What'd Jesus say? Neither hath this man sinned, say it with me, nor his what? And that's what a lot of other people say. You got a screwed up life, they say it's the sins of your parents. We know that parents can cause our kids a lot of grief and a lot of hurt. But they tell us there's these generational things, and if you don't pray them and get them off of you, you're ruined for the rest of your life. Let me tell you something right now. Jesus Christ can come into your life and change your life, and you can be changed forever from here on out. You hear me? It's incredible. A lot of crazy teaching. Neither him nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And that's what God wants to do in your life. We can't take a passage of Scripture like here, and because Jesus healed the blind man, that means, okay, you're going to get healed just like this guy. That's crazy. You're you, he's him. We're all different. Say that with me. We're all what? Different. We all have our own story for his glory. You understand? And God wanted to do a work in this man, not the same work he'd necessarily do in your life, but he has a work he wants to do in your life too. Let's look at it. Here we go. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night comes when no man can work. Jesus speaking to his disciples. For as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Man, if a blind man's there and the light of the world's passing by, that's who you want to be in touch with. Amen? And when he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground. Jesus did. Spit on the ground. He made clay of the spittle. It makes me think Jesus was a southerner or something. He wasn't. Here we go. Spit on the ground. made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind with the clay that he had made. So he put this stuff, this junk, this mess, this goo on his eyes. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I'd been like, yes, sir. I mean, you just put that mess all over me. You know what I'm saying? Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation the word sent. Siloam means sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed. And what did the blind man do? He came what? One more time. He came what? Could the guy see now? Absolutely. Is this your story or his story? It's his story. Don't go out of here, be spit on the ground, put stuff on your eyeballs, and go, why did it happen to me? Or call some preacher and send for a little hanky and rub your eyeballs with it off a TV or something. You listening to me or not? Be kooky if you want to. Here we go. It's amazing grace. That's what we're talking about. And we're going somewhere with the story. Let's keep rolling. Here we go. What we got? My story for His glory. Now, can you say that with me? My story for His... One more time. My story for His glory. This past week, I got in my pickup truck with Breanne and Elise, my daughter, and we went to North Carolina. That old truck could almost drive that road by itself. And we pulled into that little town of Rockingham. Even though we don't stay there, I stay with my brother who's about 30 miles up the road. But anyway, see, that's my story. My story originates in Rockingham, North Carolina. That's my story. That's not your story. That's not the blind man's story. He's got the story about Siloam, right? Not Rockingham. We all have a story. Let's see what we can learn today. Not just from the Bible. We're going to learn this story, but let's learn what we can do with our life for God. So let's look at it. So this guy gets healed of his blindness. How long had he been blind? Since he was what? That's right. So now he can what? All right. Now there's something going on now. Amen? And when your life is interrupted by God, by Jesus Christ, there'll be something going on in your life too. There will be something going on in your life. Let's look at what happened in his life. The neighbors said, the neighbors therefore, and they which had seen him that he was blind, said, ain't this him that said and begged who was blind? So the neighbor said something. Amen. And then some said, say it with me. It's him. So you got neighbors talking. You got some other folk are talking. You got some others said, look at this. And others said, say it with me. He's like him. No, ain't no way this can be that guy. Uh-uh. No, remember, he was blind. He's like him, though. But he said. See, I love this. But he said. Say it with me. I'm him. Some of you wonder, I can't witness for God. I can't talk for God. I can't, my story, they won't listen. Are you kidding me? Say. I'm him. I'm that one that Jesus Christ came into his life. That's me. Where are you from, Rockingham? It's not that hard, is it? Come on. So you got neighbors, you got some, you got others looking at his life. But he said, and he's got their attention. Nobody can say it better than you what it is that God has done for you. Say that with me. This is important. Nobody can say it better than you what it is that God has done for you. All right? You don't need to compare your story with my story. You didn't need to have the life I had, the drunk mama. But if you had it, tell it. Tell the truth. But you all have a story, man. You should all have a story. Are y'all listening or not? But my story is bad. Nobody want to hear my story. Are you crazy? God has you on planet Earth, associating with certain people, moving in certain circles of life, and there are people. There's some neighbors, there's some others, and there's some sums out there. But it's going to depend on you. Nobody can say it better than you what it is God's done for you. Your neighbors need to know. Some might already know. Many others do not know. But it's your chance to share your story for His glory. Let's keep moving. It's amazing grace. Nobody can say it better than you what it is that God has done for you. Amen? Come on, you don't need to be telling the story of the preacher. You ought to, man, my preacher, he's from Rockingham. I appreciate you telling people about our church and telling a little bit about me. That's a good thing to do. But listen, at the end of the day, listen, they're going to hear it better from you about what God's done in your life. Let me tell you what happened in my life. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you how when I came to that church called Fellowship Church, how I was lost and how my life was a mess and how I accepted the Jesus as my Savior. Let me tell you, that's why you need to come with me. Y'all listening? See? It works, man. My story for His glory. Let's push it. They said, how? Therefore said they unto Him, how were your eyes opened? Don't be surprised if they don't ask you these kind of questions. He said, see, you got to open your mouth. He answered and said, a man that's called Jesus, he made some clay. He anointed my eyes. He said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed, and boom, I can see. Amen? How hard is that? Amen? My mama was sitting in the living room, drunk. I came in late one night. She's watching Billy Graham. She said, we're going to church in the morning. I cussed her out. Slammed my door. Next morning, she got up. We never went to church. Didn't have a car. I went with her. Did not want to go. Wanted to keep some preacher from taking our last dollar. Madder than a hornet. Meaner than a snake as I was walking up that hill. About a mile and a half up to that church. Didn't even know where we're going. We're nuts! That's my story. 3 weeks later, December the 18th, 1977, both my drunk mama and me accepted Christ our Lord and Savior. What's that mean? That means we accepted that we were sinners. Boom, that was easy. And that Jesus Christ died on a cross and He rose from the dead and that He loved us. I did not understand that, but that's what the Bible said and I accepted it just like the Bible said. You can pick it apart. You can say we're wrong. You can do whatever you want to. I'm just telling you the way it happened. Amen? How you know it happened? Because I was there when it happened. It's my story. See what I'm saying? What's your story? Tell it like it is and tell it like it was and tell it like it is. Say that with me. Tell it like it was and tell it like it is. Don't make up some junk. Well, man, the angels came down. My body lifted. We was floating. Why are you doing that? You know why you're doing it that way? Because you want to put attention on you. Why don't you put the attention on Him? All I can do is tell you, I was a mess. And He came into my life. He's been good to me ever since. You do what you want to do. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Amen? Tell it like it was and tell it like it is. Be specific when you tell your story. Don't be, say it with me. Can you say that loud? Don't be what? How many know Christians, their story is what? It is spooky. It's so spooky, I can't find anything resembling it in the Bible. You don't have to be spooky. Jesus loves it when you brag on Him. Every knee's going to bow one day and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He loves it when you brag on His Son. If you're going to be specific, baby, talk about how He came into your life. You don't need to be embellishing. They said, back to his story, well, where is he? See, it's interesting. Before, they didn't even talk to this dude. Now they're talking to him a little bit. And wait a minute, now they're asking him where Jesus is. Look at that. Some of you don't think you can do this for the Lord. You'd be surprised. People will be asking you, where do I find Jesus? Where do I find Jesus? Amen? That's some good stuff right there. And they said unto him, well, where is he? And he said, see, he keeps showing up. If it's going to be his story, he's going to have to keep talking a little bit. He said, I don't know. Okay? I don't know where he's at. And you know what? He said, I don't know. I don't know. Now, I'm going to help you here. Let's work on that answer. I'm going to work on that answer with you this morning. Real fast, Raj. We threw some scriptures up. Where is Jesus right now? Some of you know, some of you don't know. I'm going to tell you where he's at. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his what? Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So who made the worlds? His Son, Jesus. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of the person of God, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our what? He did something. He sat down where? At the right hand of the majesty on high. So guess where Jesus is? He's the right hand of majesty on high. That's where he is. 8:1 Hebrews. Now, these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest. Somebody say it with me. Who is set where? On the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now, the blind man didn't know where he was. I want you to know where he's at. Okay? But you know where Jesus is at. But this man, Jesus, after he offered it one sacrifice for our sins forever, say it with me. He sat down where? Right hand of God on high. Do we know where Jesus is? Say, can we find him? Say, somebody tell me. I got him. Here we go. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame of it. He sat down, sat with him, where at? At the right hand of the throne of God. So that's where Jesus is. So, where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father. That's where Jesus is. Amen. What's he doing at the right hand of the Father? Why is he there? Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to what? To make what? Intercession for us. That's why you don't need a priest. You don't need to go sit in a little chair behind a little curtain. I know that's ugly. Some of you grew up that way. I understand that. But this is what the Bible teaches. We pray to Jesus. Why? Because he's at the right hand of God the Father. Why is he there? He ever lives to make intercession for us. Somebody tell me why I would go sit somewhere and talk through a curtain when I can go and talk to Jesus. You listening or not? I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to help you. Amen? And I'm going to go ahead, since I'm ugly already, I don't need to talk to his mother. I'm sorry. There's one mediator between God and man with me. The man, Christ, Jesus. Do I have incredible respect for Mary? Absolutely. She was highly favored of God. Matter of fact, over the next month, we're going to talk about Jesus' birth and her importance and all that. But see, we don't have to make something bigger than it is. We don't need to elevate Mary to a place where we pray for her. See, there we did it again, didn't we? We changed the way things and we got to make it bigger. We don't need to do that, do we? Wasn't Mary big enough without us having to pray to her? Say, yes or no? She was highly favored God. I don't need to make her any bigger. Now, if that offends you, you just need to take that in, because I certainly didn't say it to be offensive. But what I said is the truth. Okay? How can he do this? How can he make intercession for us? For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. See, that's why nobody else can do this for you. Amen? That's why we brag on Jesus. Amen? He's all that so we could be all that. He's incredible. My story for his glory. So the blind man didn't know where he was. And since he couldn't tell them where Jesus was, they took him to who? To the Pharisees, the super what? Well, you don't know where Jesus is, and something religious happened to you, so we're going to take you to the religious people. And we'll find Jesus. I'm going to tell you something right now. Your neighbors need you, not some super religious person. I've had people try to get me. Preacher, I need you to go see so-and-so, and I need you to go do this and that. Did you know who they need? They need who? You. See, you already have a relationship with them. They already trust you. They love you, many of them. But you think they need the super religious guy. Newsflash, I'm not super religious. I struggle, I sin. Y'all know I get mad, say. Do what? Oh, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I got all kinds of problems. Here we go. And they brought to the Pharisees him that used to be blind. It's funny, they never could help him before. And it was the Sabbath day.
You're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath.
When Jesus made the clay, oh my, you didn't do it on the Sabbath, did you, Jesus? Oh yeah, you can't do anything on Sabbath. And he opened his eyes. Let's look at it. The Pharisees ask. Then again, the Pharisees also ask him how he received his sight. He said, so there he is again. It's his story. He said, and then, well, he put clay on my eyes. I washed. Now I see. How'd I do? Nobody can say it better than you what it is that God's done for you. And be honest with you, some super religious folk are going to come into your life and they're going to hear your simple story, how you came to Christ, and they're going to tell you it ain't good enough. They're going to tell you you need to fall down on the floor and flop like a chicken. They are! I've had them come to see me and say, well, Pastor Clark, you don't speak in all those crazy unknown tongues. You need to. You haven't received the Holy Spirit of the living God. Are you kidding me? Excuse me. People are going to tell you you've got to do it all kinds of different ways. Some Pharisees said, therefore said some of the Pharisees, there's some again, this man's not a God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. We done poked your story full of holes. He done made that clay on the Sabbath day. So we know it ain't right. Others said, how can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? See? This man you're talking about, he's a sinner man. It's Jesus eating with publicans and sinners and other low-life losers. Isn't that what they say about him? And there was a division among them. They're like, uh-oh, maybe he can do something. You see what I'm saying? And see, that's the beauty of you coming to Christ and me coming to Christ. Jesus didn't come for us to sing Kumbaya all the way from here to yonder. He came to send a word. And so when you trust Christ as your Savior, and I trust Christ as my Savior, some people are going to listen, others are not, and then some other are going to question it and not like it. There's going to be a division. But that's okay. If you're specific, if you tell the truth, if you're being honest, you tell what Christ has done in your life, let the chips fall where they may. You understand? Some Pharisees said, Jesus is not of God. Jesus doesn't keep the Sabbath. How can Jesus, who's a sinner, do miracles? So they're picking his story to death. We got to fly, Raj. Good! Good! Let them pick it to death. That's all right. Okay? They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he's opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. People, you start giving your story and people start asking you questions, you're going to give a chance to stand up for Jesus and speak for Jesus. Amen? And that's what he did. He said, he's a prophet. Remember, religion says what? Do so. Keep looking. They what? See, they investigated. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and he received his sight until they called the parents of him that received his sight. We're going to get your parents. And I got a feeling they were quite old. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? Who you say was born blind? We know he always saw. How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. I mean, we don't know all the answers, but yeah, that's our son. And he was born blind. Religious type of pressure many times will try to put you in a corner to where you don't know how to respond. Be specific, tell the truth. But by what means does he see? We don't know. Who opened his eyes? We don't know. He's of age, go ask him. He can speak for himself. See, you need to speak for yourself. I'll get my mama to do it. My grandma can talk for me about Jesus. Why can't you do it? So they investigated, and here's what religious people do. They intimidated. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. See, they intimidated them. Any who don't speak anything positive of Jesus are going to get kicked out. You understand? Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. They interrogated. So they what? They investigated, they intimidated, and they interrogated. And by the way, that's why a lot of people are fed up with church these days. Investigation, intimidation and interrogation instead of Jesus Christ, you. We've all sinned. It's all about Him. What a difference. Amen? Then again called they the man that was blind. They said unto him, give God the praise, because we know this man's a sinner. And guess what he did? He reiterated. They investigated. They what? Interrogated. They did something else. Intimidated. And guess what he reiterated. You keep doing that. You keep reiterating what Jesus has done for you. It's your story. Nobody can screw with your story. Can they? I was there when it happened. He said, he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or no, I don't know. One thing I know, say it with me, that whereas I was blind and now I, and that's where we get the song Amazing Grace from. I once was blind, but now I once was, but now I, that's where we got our song. An old sinner named John Newton came across this story one day, and it related to him as well. And he penned that beautiful song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Nobody can say it better than you, what it is that God has done for you. Are we almost done, Raj? That's it right there. We're at the end. Can we say that together? Nobody can say it better than you, what it is that God has done for you, because it's my story for His what? It's all what? Amazing grace. Did you learn? I did. I love this guy. I'm going to meet him one day. Amen. I'm going to tell him this story helped change my life so that I could share Christ with other folk. Amen. Good story. Let's praise Him for His word this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good stuff.